Before we go to the next caller, I believe that we have an announcement from the Gay Yellow Pages, and we'll find out what we got here.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
Here it is. As I was saying, it is 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's Reparations Day Radio. Please call in with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187. Now let's talk about, let's get around to Thanksgiving legend. The murder of a white trader, Indian kidnapper, and troublemaker became an excuse to make war on the Pequods in 1636. I'll give you more on that in just a moment. But first, I want to talk to Deborah, who's calling in. The number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
I'm honored, so honored to be on your show and so honored to have followed Parafogreen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great to hear Para's voice, isn't it?
So AG Double Toothpicks, they should give them money, land, and everything. Yes. Yes, yes. And you know what? I can't believe it took this long, and I do know quite a bit about it because I have studied about it, and I cannot believe that it's embarrassing to be an American. I hope they don't come and pick me up now. They probably will. But because of that, and there were women and people and men who were working on this issue in 1860-something and trying to pass legislation in the Congress to give them, you know, more land. And I can't believe that how many years later is it now?
You know, and as I was saying, with this maldistribution of wealth, it's relatively painless. We've got the cash. All we have to do is go take it and redistribute it, which I think would be a great start towards redistributing power as well.
Exactly. And I've talked to, we had a ranch in Central Oregon. My uncle was Tom McCall. And we had the McCall Ranch and the Crooked River. And the Warm Spring Tribe was right there. We always drove through there on the way to the ranch. And so I wanted to buy back part of the ranch, specifically the butte, what we called the butte. It was a pile of rocks. And I still do want to give it to the Warm Springs because I'm sure it's some sacred place right by the rim rocks. And I still might if I could, but the value of the property now is $5 million. It's a section of land, 640 acres. Right there on the meandering stream called the Crooked River.
Which brings us back to political will,
yes,
and political force, because these are political decisions that have maldistributed. Maldistributed, is that a word? That have ill-distributed,
yes,
the wealth.
No, that's a word. And also, I mean, well, why should I have to do it alone? But I would go knock on the door of these people who bought a ranch and go, I want to buy the butte and give it to the Warm Springs Tribe, but why don't you just donate it to them and save me the money?
Let's say give it back, because we know where it came from.
I know. It's so obvious. And don't get me started, but I learned so much from you on your show. I just want to tell you that. About Fukushima, about the radiation measurements in Portland. I love that. You started a whole trend, and now people are doing it all over the state, I think. Did you notice?
They're reading the readings.
Yes.
And they are being reported on KBOO radio. And I haven't heard it elsewhere, to tell you the truth, but it is interesting to hear that there are now national sources. And here in Portland, I've noticed since 2011, when I first began taking readings due to the Fukushima accident, that the average counts per minute that I am picking up on my instrument have gone up from 12 to about 21.
21 or 2, right?
Yeah.
Or 4. And I listen, you know, with barely able to breathe. Plus, I stayed at the International Hostel here in Portland and met a man from Japan and could not contain myself from grilling him all about what it was like. And, you know, he did not live in the prefecture of Fukushima, but he knew about it. And then, you know, there's all that, oh, just store the rice. And I'm telling him I was on the verge of tears all the time, like, 250,000 years. I'm so sure you're going to store rice for that long.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of something that John Trudell said to a working class audience. You're the Indians now. A bit of rhetoric, but there's certainly some truth to it. Hey,
yes.
Thanks for your call.
You're so welcome. Keep up the good work. I love your show. I wish it were longer on Thursdays, and I'm so glad you're doing this today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking my call.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. It's 9:05, and you're listening to the second hour of Reparations Day Radio on KBOO Portland. A punitive expedition left Boston in 1636 to attack the Narragansett Indians on Block Island, who were lumped with the Pequots. As Governor Winthrop wrote, quoting, "They had commission to put to death the men of Block Island, but to spare the women and children, and to bring them away and take possession of the island, and from thence to go to the Pequots, to demand the murderers of Captain Stone and other English, and 1,000 fathom of wampum for damages, etc." And, you know, the value of wampum's kind of gone down over the, you know, inflation. "And some of their children as hostages, which if they should refuse, they were to obtain it by force. The English landed and killed some Indians, but the rest hid in the thick forests of the island, and the English went from one deserted village to the next, destroying crops. Then they sailed back to the mainland and raided Pequot villages along the coast, destroying crops again." One of the officers of that expedition, in his account, quoting Howard Zinn here, "People's History of the United States gives in some insight into the Pequots. They encountered the Indians spying of us, came running in multitudes along the waterside, saying, 'What cheer, Englishmen, what cheer? What do you come for?' They, not thinking we intended war, went on cheerfully," end quote. I got more to say about that, about the war with the Pequots, quoting Howard Zinn's People of History of the United States. But Brian has called in. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Of course, I'm for reparations.
All right, then.
Absolutely. That's and I'll tell you what, we're going to end up giving them back, giving it back no matter what we do. You know, if we, I mean, it doesn't matter what the billionaires say, it's going to happen, because it's going to be, eventually it's going to come down to being taken. And that's, the, you know, history proves that. But, you know, I wanted to comment about something, even the Pope hates us now. You know, I mean, I don't think he hates us, but
hates capitalism.
I mean, he's definitely completely critical of our system, and I think he's exploring the damage it's done, and he's trying to work it out. And I heard a very sad, negative, you know, series of comments on NPR yesterday about the Pope, and how, well, maybe we shouldn't listen to him, because now get this, this is the irony, he's just spouting New Testament stuff. Right, exactly. And you know, that's kind of what the Christian church is all about, the New Testament. And
last I heard,
oh yeah, and it was a great little commentary by this guy, and he was saying, well, you know, he is from Argentina, and you know, that was that's where the dirty wars were, and you know, and they're trying to, like, almost they're trying to discredit him, and the guy just dug himself a hole. And you know, I guess they liked this last Pope Benedict, to where he was a conservative and from a first world country, as they call it.
Yeah, the anti-aircraft gunner, as I recall.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's not fair. He was only set up for training to be an anti-aircraft gunner.
But oh well, his heart was in it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, you know, is really interesting. Is, you know, and NPR is actually, not to dwell on NPR, but, you know, that other station, you know, had a glorifying little plug and interview with Eric Prince, the founder of Blackwater, for his new book. And his new book says what heroes his soldiers were over in Iraq and, you know, all the other places they worked. Hmm. So, you know, that's kind of where the media is headed. But as hard as they try and fight it off, you know, we're looking at a, you know, everybody is.
It's an entirely different attitude, and it was, I think, well, it was quite something to hear the Pope say that sort of thing. Now, I would like to see the Pope put his money where his mouth is. There is a hell of a lot of money in the Vatican, and last I checked, little Catholic institutions like the one pretty close to KBOO are kind of pretty much being sucked dry still. And, you know, it's still about the cash. So let's see what he does. That'll be interesting. And see if he
exactly.
makes it, too.
Well, at least he said something, Teresa. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm not Catholic, but, you know, I am, you know, for the Christian faith. And, you know, I mean, it's great to see somebody that powerful saying those things that are very plain. And he aimed it right at Reagan, you know, trickle-down economics. So.
All right, then. Well, thanks
anyway,
for your call.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you very much for calling in. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It's 9:09 in the morning on Turkey Day, and I'm going to get to another caller in just a moment, but massacres, quoting Howard Zinn, took place on both sides in the wars, and the Pequods began. The English developed a tactic of warfare used earlier by Cortes and later in the 20th century, even more systematically, deliberate attacks on non-combatants for the purpose of terrorizing the enemy. And departing from that text, we talked about thugs and soldiers and this sort of thing, but don't get me wrong, I am not down on anybody for being a soldier in the United States. Heck, I tried a couple of times. I didn't know what it was about when I was young and penniless, and the armed forces wouldn't have me, finding me, well, they don't hire hermaphrodites, and long story short. And, you know, the thing is, you get told a certain story, you have faith and goodwill in your heart, you go forth, and then everybody, you know, finds out, and then you come back with all of the damage that you have after going to war for the United States of America. You find that you've gone to war for the corporations, and so you either admit that and suffer under the knowledge, or you don't admit it and you suffer under the denial. But our soldiers certainly suffer, which is another reason to stop this whole imperialism thing, if you ask me. But ethnohistorian Francis Jennings, quoted in Howard Zinn's People, History of the United States, referred to Captain John Mason's attack on a Pequot village on Mystic River near Long Island Sound, and this is relevant to Thanksgiving Day. Mason proposed to avoid attacking Pequot warriors, which would have overtaxed his unseasoned, unreliable troops. Battle as such was not his purpose. Battle is only one of the ways to destroy an enemy's will to fight. Massacre can accomplish the same end with much less risk. And Mason had determined that massacre would be his objective, end quote. So the English set fire to the wigwams of the village by their own account. Quote, the captain also said, we must burn them, and immediately stepping into the wigwam, brought out a firebrand and putting it into the mats with which they were covered. Does this remind you of Hearts and Minds seen in Vietnam? Set the wigwams on fire. William Bradford, in his History of the Plymouth Plantation, written at the time, describes John Mason's raid on the Pequot village, and this has been said on KBOO so many times, I should almost read it like scripture, but here's the quote. Those that escaped the fire were slain by the sword. Slain with the sword. Some hewed to pieces, others run through with their rapiers, so as they were quickly dispatched and very few escaped. It is conceived that they thus destroyed about 400 at this time. It was a fearful sight to see them thus frying in the fire, and the streams of blood quenching the same, and horrible was the stink and scent thereof, but the victory seemed a sweet sacrifice, and they gave the prayers thereof to God, who had wrought so wonderfully for them, thus to enclose their enemies in their hands, and to give them so speedy a victory over so proud and insulting an enemy, end quote. That's a start of Thanksgiving Day. Now, I know somebody's going to call up and say, oh, there's been Thanksgiving Days in Europe, and it's a harvest tradition. Yes, it is. But here in the United States, we have a certain legend, which is entirely, can't say that on the radio. And I think it's appropriate that People's Community Radio, KBOO Portland, should devote the day to replacing that with the truth, painful as it might be. And you are welcome to call in with your comments or questions. 503-231-8187, and Tim's on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I missed the beginning of your show, so I may have missed some of the explanation of how the recompensation would work.
Reparations Day, yes. Right? Go ahead, yes.
But first, as far as soldiers or veteran soldiers are concerned, I have no sympathy for them at all. We have a volunteer army, so these people are nothing but mercenaries, and if they get shot up, the hell with them.
Oh, you know, you're certainly entitled to that opinion, but I disagree, but go ahead.
Secondly, the Pope, he should just admit his religion is a bogus bunch of bull. It's superstitious. It doesn't have a fact. He should just resign, dissolve the church, and put the resources towards helping the poor and working for social justice.
Give it up, Pope, like is that. What you're saying here. Just give
and
it up.
Thirdly, as far as recompensation goes, I don't see how it could work. I mean, I agree the country was built on genocide and slavery, but there's a lot of people in this country who didn't profit from it, who came in later after.
Right on,
after
exactly. So let me repeat myself then.
I think the solution, as far as that is concerned, is that we should make sure there's equal access and opportunity for all people, regardless of who or what they are or where they came from. That would include education through university level, free health care, and equal access to housing, and whatever else, you know. We're all people, and even though our history is disgusting and exploitative and murderous and full of blood, we should just accept that that was what it was. But now we are alive here now, and we need to make a world better, as good as it can possibly be for all of us.
Easier to accept if you're not eating reconstituted potatoes on a reservation.
The what?
So it's easier to accept that as it is if you're not damaged by that particular history. Well, I'll admit that there is a rhetorical posing.
I was a civil rights worker on a reservation. I've worked on two, and I have Indian blood in me. And there is no question. I was on a Sioux reservation right near Wounded Knee during the 80s when the American Indian movement was at its peak. And so I know what happened out there. I've seen it. I've talked to the people whose ancestors were the victims, the ones that made it out alive.
Okay, and this is Thanksgiving Day, and so we're talking about what the real history is, and appreciate your calls and your comments.
All right.
And the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Call your community radio station. As Dr. Cotton Mather, Puritan theologian, put it, talking about the war on the Pequods, it was supposed that no less than 600 Pequod souls were brought down to hell that day, end quote. The war continued. Indian tribes were used against one another and never seemed able to join together in fighting the English. Jennings sums up, the terror was very real among the Indians, but in time they came to meditate upon its foundations. They drew three lessons from the Pequod War. First, that the Englishman's most solemn pledge would be broken whenever obligation conflicted with advantage. Secondly, that the English way of war had no limit of scruple or mercy. And thirdly, that weapons of Indian making were almost useless against weapons of European manufacture. These lessons the Indians took to heart. A footnote in Virgil Vogel's book, This Land Was Ours, 1972, says the official figure on the number of Pequods now in Connecticut is 21 persons, end quote. Number to call with your comments, 503-231-8187. Don's on the air.
Hi. This is a very interesting show. The radiation rate went up from 12 to 21?
That's what I'm saying, yes, over the years.
Okay. I've heard the various reports in KABU, and they mentioned that. But no, I know that no amount of radiation is good. But what is the number where people like myself in Portland should be concerned?
Well, you kind of already said it. It's like an increase in radiation means an increase in health consequences. As Dr. John Goffman has said, he was a co-discoverer of an isotope of plutonium, but he said that 1/40,000th of an ounce of plutonium in the lungs is sufficient to generate a tumor. So this does not, of course, mean that everyone who inhales a bit of plutonium is going to get a tumor. It just means that that increases the chances. There have been, and I do not have it right in front of me, but there have been estimations. Now, let me rephrase that. There have been reports that infant mortality has bumped slightly, and if it was your baby that died, it didn't bump slightly. It was a horrible disaster. So it's like that, and that's the beauty of nuclear power, is that that pollution is invisible. Almost no one has even a Geiger counter, which is not a very good instrument, by the way, and it's a very clumsy instrument, and I have a cheap one. And so it is. They get away, they, meaning the nuclear industry, gets away with, you know, degrading life on the planet simply because the access to the true science has been taken away and is kept away from the public. So I'm sorry, I don't have a direct answer. I only have that to say. Are you still there?
You know, I'm going to find out somehow what the number would be where I could say, okay, the number is such and such. That means that I'm probably going to get cancer. I want to find out what that number is. I wonder who I could call.
There are so many variables. I mean, if you are young and healthy, you can get a whopping occasional dose of radiation and still live a long life. I mean, there are survivors of the atomic bombings who can attest to that. And on the other hand, I remember during the strontium fallout years, one of my contemporaries, a little girl named Becky, dying of a sudden bone cancer, which was almost certainly due to that radiation. So it just, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got a great show. Very entertaining and edifying.
Thanks for that comment. Number to call, 503-231-8187. This is Reparations Day Radio. And because the nature of radio is that people tune in and out, I'm going to repeat myself a bit. I'm talking about reparations. I'm talking about how easy it is simply because the wealth is so maldistributed, as is typical, by the way, with empires. Maldistribution of wealth is the reason the Spanish Empire collapsed. It's the reason the Roman Empire collapsed. You can say it was gays, but you'd be lying and you'd be ignorant if you said that. And maldistribution of wealth saps a society. And that is what we have here. And because there is such grotesque maldistribution of wealth, and because there is such an unbelievably titanic plutocracy, because trillions of dollars are trillions of dollars, actual reparations only requires political will. I've talked about 40 acres and a mule for black people, making reference to that. But, you know, the equivalent, let's say it's $400,000, something like that, easily accomplished. That's how much money is taken away from you by billionaires, by system of extraction. And, you know, it's a popular myth that you can get rich by saving money. I don't know why anyone thinks that is logically congruent with facts, but it is not. You can only become a billionaire by exploiting millions of people. Thousands at the very least, and millions preferably, and then you take the value of their wages and you become a billionaire. That's how it's done. And it is not done by you being particularly brilliant. It is done by you being born into the right family. Certainly the heirs to the Walmart fortune, the billionaire heirs, who never did a thing in their lives except to be born to the family of Sam Walton, can attest to that, although they won't. Time is 9:21. This is KBOO Portland. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Steve's on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there. Hey, you know, it's interesting that the Pope comes out against this.
Pope's come up again and again today. This is interesting.
Yeah, that's okay. But what's interesting is one time I was dealing with a cult group, and the guy said to me, "I'll bet you think dealing with us is like nailing Jell-O to a wall." And, you know, I thought, well, you know, you're right. And I have, you know, Tea Partier friends, and, well, I don't know how much longer they're going to be friends, but, you know, I think the same thing. You know, it's like nailing Jell-O to a wall. You know, like this whole thing about Obamacare, that came from the Heritage Foundation. You know, that was their free market alternative to socialist medicine. And, you know, now they're all bemoaning that and want it to fail, and it's a disaster, and it's horrible. And wait a minute, this came from you guys. And, you know, it's like I talked to one friend that said, you know, Reagan raided Social Security. He stole from widows and pensions in order to pay for his military expansion. And his comment was not, "Oh, that's terrible." His comment was, "Oh, the Democrats did that too." And one of the things about where we're going, it's like nailing Jell-O to a wall and dealing with these people. My hat's off to you for attempting to do that. But it's looking at what we did with Nazi Germany and the reparations, and looking at that generation that was stained with the Third Reich and their inability to face their crimes. I've talked to Germans of that generation, and the ones who understood that it was evil understood that it was evil then. And their eyes narrow with anger when they remember the generation around them that went along with it. And then I've talked to Germans in that generation who went along with it, and they're scary because they still don't see that they've done wrong. We worked hard. We were diligent. We were orderly. We were this. We were that. And it's actually a cult. It's actually like a
capitalism,
like a religious cult.
Capitalism's a cult, you mean?
Yes. It's when I talk with these people, it's not, you know, I can present rational things like the Mondragon cooperative community. Rational. It's not even social. It had nothing to do with the government. And I get arguments against it. I get automatic arguments that it's bad. But
automatic. They are very automatic. Yes, I'm familiar with what you're talking about. And, of course, if you're going to mention Mondragon, I want to mention Marinoleta, another word to remember if you want to know if it actually works to rationally distribute wealth and power. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's that thing. The funny thing was that all of these people wouldn't even hear it, wouldn't even listen to it, raised all these objections to it. And it was like, again, nailing Joe to a wall. It went against their religious beliefs. And capitalism is a religion. Wealth, mammon. You know, Jesus said, he didn't say you can't serve the devil and God. He says you can't serve wealth and God. It is. It is a spiritual thing. It's not just an attitude or one thing or another. Because I mentioned it one time to a banker who's he's mid-level, you know, like regional level banker. I mentioned it to his wife, who's a relative. And she looked up the Mondragon thing. She says, that sounds wonderful. She mentioned it to her husband, and he got excited. Well, this is wonderful.
It is exciting, isn't it? I mean, and I would like to actually, I have begun working on getting information to do, I think not my regular show, but I want to do some talk radio about actually forming cooperatives here in the Portland area. For example, the very first thing I think that should be done, there are capitalists who take advantage of people who need work by forming these temp work agencies. They charge an outrageous amount per hour. They give very little to the worker, take the rest from themselves, and employers will go with it because they have that power or the worker that they can instantaneously fire them. Now, if we were to form a cooperative, not only could we pay the workers more, but we could charge the capitalists less, so much if we get past a certain threshold that they would be pretty much forced by ways of competition to deal with a cooperative rather than with the capitalist temp work agency. So I say, let's do it. And I'll have more information on that in a few weeks.
Right. You know, more power to you. You know, there's just something so cultural against that in this country that you got your work cut out for you. But thank you. Anyway, you have a good day, and to your viewers, rather your listeners and stuff. And hey, you know, the Bible says those who cheat their laborers out of wages to get wealthy, and it says the wealthy do that, their place is in hell and their money will burn up with them. Just, they should think about that. Anyway.
All right, hearing from both sides on the Christianity here. Thank you very much for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Doing talk radio, of course, this is a majority Christian culture, and I'm going to hear from Christians. And I am not a Christian. I don't believe in that whole system. But Mox Nix, it's your beliefs. And although, you know, from time to time, I'm going to come out with my critiques. And the time is 9:27, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Reparations Day Radio. I'm Teresa Mitchell. And Jim is on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks for your time.
Hi.
I'm all for reparations. Although I do feel companies like AT&T, IBM, McDonald's, Google, Chase, Walmart, De Beers, etc., who I feel do owe the most and are the most capable of paying, they are not going to willingly forfeit land or profits. So other than like a... I don't know, a Great American Crowd Fund or actions like that that took place on Alcatraz decades ago, who pays? And how much?
Well, my suggestion is that billionaires should be limited to $10 million, that the offshore illegal tax trillions should simply be seized.
And what do you think about taxing those super quick, high trading shares that are happening in the blink of an eye? I mean, they're not being taxed, are they? Could those be taxed?
They're not going to be taxed, and I would say under our system that they will, you know, actually, of course, what I'm suggesting here is a peaceful revolution, and
I agree.
If that is possible, then the first step is to actually get the actual truth out there and actually give the proportions of the maldistribution of wealth in this society out. And I don't know whether it is possible. I do know that there's a terrific streak of violence which has been used to control us and has been used to in to bring us into the military, and that I would say at this point, if Americans start shooting at each other, they are not going to stop. And so I do not support violent revolution at this point. I will say that, you know, if the maldistribution of wealth continues and things continue to get worse and worse, it might be inevitable. I don't think that's a good thing.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I guess I just have one more question. Do
All right.
you have any other references to similar work as done by Howard Zinn? I know there's a couple other authors, of course, and I know you're focusing on Howard this morning, but do you have another name or two you could throw out?
Sure. Look up Harvey Wasserman. Look up Foner. That's just a couple that I glibly put out. But if you look up Historian and Zinn, if you use a search service, I think you'll come up with some interesting historians. Thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And it's almost 9:30, and Steve's on the air. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Comment about what I heard earlier about the NPR program, which I also listened to.
Uh-huh.
The commenter actually was praising the Pope effusively. He said this is the first Pope who's advancing the Christian message. So I don't know why the previous caller was saying that he was really trying to rip apart the Pope, but that's not the way it came across to me.
Okay, well, I'll have to take your word for it and his, because I didn't actually hear that program.
Anyway, also, I'm thinking about the Pope as I regard Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, I'm an atheist myself, but I'll take what they stand for, you know? I mean, if we can have a leader with that kind of influence and that kind of personal charisma come on the scene now, it's all for the good.
It does have a powerful effect, I think, because when a leader like that actually questions the whole concept, it really, I mean, you're not even supposed to say capitalism. I remember, let's see, which presidential debate was it that Ross Perot was in? That shows how old I am, I guess.
92.
Was it 92? Thank you very much. He mentioned capitalism and then just kind of caught himself up short. Like, whoops. Said the C word.
Yeah, well,
you're not supposed to see.
Regulated capitalism, of course, which is better than what we have now.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, boy, I'm excited about this Pope's message. I'm a person with that stature saying these kind of things. It's, you know, I'm thinking back to Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah. Hey, how? Let's go. I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Admit I'm having a good time because truth-telling is joyous. And even though the truth I've been telling is pretty grim. Talking about Zinn's People's History of the United States, which is a wonderful investment. You can get it in various forms. There is a teaching edition, which is split up into two parts. It is also on the web at historyisaweapon.com. And quoting that, for a while the English tried softer tactics, but ultimately it was back to annihilation. The Indian population of 10 million, this is a little out of date, as I was saying, there were even more. But the Indian population of 10 million that lived